Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We're a political, comedic, and social podcast where we give you a nerdy outlook on what's going on in the world today, giving you a look inside the inner conclave of nerdom, and we're here to take over the world in our nerd imperium. So all hail the Currently Nerdy Empire.
Hail.
Thank you. You're a good man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell that was, but okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. We get this podcast to you free every week on currentlynerdy.com and on iTunes, so please feel free to rate, review, subscribe, and share our podcast and page to all your friends, family members, and loved ones, because you truly don't love someone until you have spread the gospel of Currently Nerdy. Hallelujah. Holla back, little homie. Amen.
Hallelujah.
What?
Hallelujah.
I thought you said palleluiah.
Either way.
Whatever.
Hallelujah.
Okay, thank you, Medea. Sorry,
my throat.
Mm-hmm. Too much dick in it. All right. Whoa. We are your hosts of this illustrious, wonderful, profane, vulgar podcast. My name is Diz, and I am the piece of shit that does pop culture and sports, which means I could tell you that Demi Lovato is single, and I'm going to find her and stalk her and make her fall in love with me, put the burlesque sack over her head, make her marry me.
That's really offensive.
And that John Jones got popped for PEDs. And Brock Lesnar won his return to the UFC. And now the man who'll give you the history and tell you why I'm an offensive piece of shit, Ali, take it away.
My name is Ali Alomi. I am the classic nerd of the group, and I like to bring up the background to all the topics that we discuss. V.
Good evening, friends. This is V Tran. My voice is going, unfortunately, but I cover all the things that Ali and Diz do not.
I know why your voice is going. And I'm not
No,
I'm not going to say that. It's because you've been fucking running around yelling like, ooh, Pikachu, Pikachu, ooh, Rattata, ooh, Rattata, ooh, Pichiotto.
Are you playing Pokemon Go?
No. I was when it was released when I was in Canada, so I didn't really, I got a chance to grab it.
Ah.
Yeah, and I figured once I get it, though, it'd be a good idea because I'm doing a lot of traveling, so I might find some interesting things, but.
Yeah, you might find some Mewtwo's and shit.
Exactly.
V would be the motherfucker that, like, stumbles into Area 51, and they're like, sir, this is restricted government property. He's like, where the fuck is Mewtwo?
No, honestly, I'd be more like I'd stumble in there and be like, listen, I saw on Yelp that there was a restaurant in here that I wanted to check out.
I heard you guys had an out of this world through. Sandwich.
Yeah, now, I don't know if I'm going to get it or not just because, I mean, it's cool, but I played Pokemon when we were younger, but I don't know if I like it enough to really bother with it. It's taking up a lot of time and.
Yeah, I mean, it looks cool, but I don't know if I could play it. I don't have time for that shit.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't
But funny. I did. I thought it was fun.
This isn't funny, but, like, it's kind of worth mentioning. There's, like, because they just put Pokemon everywhere, right? And the people that own the places don't, like, really, like, have control of what's going on. Did you hear that there's been, like, Pokemon at the Holocaust Museum?
Yeah, I heard about this. And they told them to stop.
Yeah, because they're worried that they might put, like, one of the, like, the poisonous gas ones.
Oh.
And that's, like, in super poor taste.
Well, here's the thing. Why are they putting them in buildings?
I don't know.
Yeah. How about you don't put them in
buildings? Well, I read a story this weekend that there was like they found like a Pikachu at like the Australian police department like somewhere in Sydney. And people kept going to this damn police department to the point where they had to put up a sign being like, get the fuck away from here. Like, people who are in trouble should be going to the police office. Like,
yeah. Well, there's a couple of pictures floating around of the military soldiers playing it over in Iraq. Someone found like one in Fallujah or some shit. And they're like, come at me, ISIS. Let's do a Poke battle.
It's a
real tweet.
Oh my god. No, this guy bought a house that used to be a church, and they have Pokemon at random like religious places. So it's like they're trying to make you go to like church and temple and the mosque and places. So
like, true.
I swear to God, they have Pokemon at churches and mosques and stuff like landmarks, like religious landmarks.
Why?
I don't know. But like churches have been using it as like a come join our Sunday service and maybe you could find some Pokemon too, right? But this guy, his house used to be a church.
So now
his house is a gym, right? Because big like places like that become gyms. And you go to gyms to go and train your Pokemon and stuff like that.
Also do battle, right?
Yeah.
So he said, like, and he plays the game. And he was really confused as to like why there was a gym like right there. And he found out that it was his house because people kept coming by and just sitting for hours like right outside of his house. And he saw some guy just sitting there chilling like with a smile on his face. And he's like, hey. You train your Pokemon? And the guy goes, yeah, I own this gym. And he goes, oh, well, I own this house. We should be friends, you know? He's like, yeah, kids come over there like at fucking 3 a.m. They're sitting outside my house. Oh, see, and that's shit.
Crazy. Like, yeah. I mean, it's kind of cool because a lot. It's kind of motivating people to actually go out and walk around and kind of enjoy. You know, not really enjoy the surroundings. The inadvertent
effect of it is that it's actually gotten nerds to exercise.
Seriously, like actually see natural sunlight.
Yeah,
you know,
this may very well end the obesity epidemic in America.
Yeah, so
well, there was that. What they talked about when Dance Dance Revolution first came out when we were younger, yeah. I had a lot of people, like a lot of these nerds, lost all this weight because everyone became obsessed with that game because
we knew a couple people that lost weight
exactly playing DDR.
Yeah,
yeah, like it's crazy.
There so was the body has never exercised, so like when it does DDR, it was like oh my god, destroy all my calories.
Got shocked into weight loss.
There was a funny tweet. Someone said Pokemon Go has done more for obesity in young Americans than Michelle Obama has done in 8 years.
Yeah, no, I think Pokemon Go is probably it's a brilliant innovation.
Yeah.
I'm uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, me neither. Me too.
The idea of it tracking and...
Well, think about it like this too, man. Like,
all the data that it's sending.
Imagine, okay, like I've always told people this too. Like the more unscrupulous individuals in this world, you know, they could literally get the Pokemon Go app, look for Pokemon. They'll literally go to a place where there's a Pokemon, hide in a corner with a fucking pipe or something.
They've done that.
They have, yeah, right? Oh, okay. So I didn't really, yeah.
Four teens were...
In Missouri.
Jesus Christ, really?
Armed robbery.
Yeah.
They
was it in St. Louis? That's where T-Turtle's based out of.
Yes. I don't know. But they did. That happened.
Yeah. They sent a lure.
There's been a bunch of ones. This like the armed robbery one is very famous. Got robbed.
So obviously that means that we need more guns on the street because Pokemon Go needs to be protected by the Second Amendment.
Oh my god, fuck you, V. I hate you for even being facetious about that. I'm just saying. God damn you.
You know, everything was so much more harmonious in Canada.
Right.
I don't know what it was. You know, I mean, you know, though, Justin Trudeau, you know, and all his bullshit.
Hell of a guy. I'd marry him.
Seems like a nice fellow.
The Justin Trudeau stands are like the Obama stands.
Yeah.
It's like people are, like we've entered into the realm of celebrity politics. Obviously Kennedy had it.
Yeah.
But we're really seeing it now.
Reagan had it.
Not really.
Reagan was a celebrity.
This kind of like this. There's no substance. It's all style.
Yeah.
There's like,
and even then, like he hasn't really done that much. Like
he's actually. I mean, he's. Yeah. It's a lot of shit that he's done that's not particularly progressive or good, because he has that like one line.
Yeah.
Why do you have gender equality on your cabinet? It's 2016 or some shit.
And like he also shook the hand of like the three refugees to let it
in
Canada.
He's only taking in like 10 refugees total.
But he shook their hands when they came here.
Yeah, he's like, we welcome you here. It's like, it's because it looks good.
People I like him because he has an Afghan in cabinet.
People are like obsessed with this guy. They're like, oh my God, he's the sexiest guy in politics. They say all the North America, there's like Mexico, Justin Trudeau. I forgot the Mexico guy. Not Vicente Fox, the other guy.
I don't know, Mayor Villaraigosa.
No. Really? And Obama. These three are like really young. Chapo. Yeah. These are kind of like young world leaders.
Hey, you know who's a good looking dude? Fucking, what's his name? Martin O'Malley. Have you ever seen him with his shirt off? That guy's ripped. What? I mean, he doesn't have like the typical dad bod that these like senators have.
Isn't the dad bod like trending right now though? Isn't that something women like the dad bod right now?
Yeah, I don't know.
Isn't that a thing?
Women like Justin Trudeau. The point is, and it's not just women. Everyone loves Justin Trudeau. The point is, we've entered into the realm. We've entered into the realm of superficial politics.
Yeah. Right. Well, there's that. Who's that? Duncan Hill or whatever his name is. He looks like.
Which one is that?
He's an American politician. I think he's actually on our Senate.
Duncan Keith?
No, I don't know what his last name is. Duncan something.
So Duncan Keith.
And he actually looks like a guy that we went to elementary school with. He looks like every typical Orange County, white. So rich kid.
He looks like Paul Ryan.
And he was kind of only. Yeah.
Paul Ryan looks like a doofus that just worked out. He's got big old ears, big old nose.
Like Republican women love him.
Like the kid. Like,
women love him because he's decent looking for a freaking dork.
That's like me, in my obsession with Sarah Palin. Yeah. She's hot for a politician.
Okay, so kind of like him, only, a little bit more kind of hefty. Mm. But he was also because they called him out because he was vaping on the floor.
He was vaping?
He was vaping, yeah. And,
on the floor.
Yeah. And
come on,
I like that guy.
I mean, this is like
I'm voting for him.
He's really bringing douchebag in.
For him. He's like the douchiest politician in the world, right? And it's funny because it turns out that like the vaping industry had given him over $30,000 in campaign contributions over the years. And what's even worse, he got in trouble because he charged he had bought over 300 games on Steam on a business account. And then like when they called him out on it, he's like, well, I bought one game and then my son bought all the other ones. It was like this, like he literally was vaping and buying games on Steam.
Dude, it sounds like your type of politician.
This is seriously, is he from Orange County?
I don't think so.
Like, who, but he which looks county, like, yeah. What district does he represent?
I want to be in that district.
Okay, actually, look at, okay, so he's actually a congressman, a Republican congressman from San Diego. So he's actually like a Southern California.
I literally knew, like, before you said San Diego.
Like, yeah, so he's like definitely our San Diego, for anyone who doesn't know, it's only like an hour south of where we live. Yeah.
Guys, would you guys mind starting to record from San Diego? Because I'm going to move there now. Yeah, I got the congressman that I want.
Shut up.
He would look after my rights. Strip clubs, cigarettes, and booze. That sounds like that's what he's for.
Vapes.
Yeah. I know, vaping.
So tobacco, strip clubs,
is
booze.
Vaping tobacco? Yeah. Vaping is like,
no, it's like, well, it's really funny because it's like a oil, right? He's kind of known, like what he was doing was he was making a case against an amendment to ban vaping on planes. And one of his things was he was talking about how it's water vapor. It's not like smoke. You know, like, and I think it's dumb, but, you know, like,
I'd vote for this guy. I'm going to move to what part of San Diego? I got to find that.
This is what I'm talking about, though. Yeah. That's considered politics today.
Yeah. 50th district.
Ooh, I don't know where that is, but I'm going to find it.
That's considered politics. I mean, in politics, has always been a pain in the ass.
This is true.
And it's always been about style and showmanship. But there's like a whole nother level of it nowadays. Like it's a fantastic superficiality. I mean, it's like, it's more along the lines of when Varys says power is where people believe it resides. It's a shadow against the wall.
Yeah.
He's absolutely right. Ah. It's not real. Like, politicians are all like, I mean, the idea of Obama being this great liberal, he's not. Yeah. Justin Trudeau being this phenomenal progressive, he's not.
Well, what about Bernard J. Sanders?
Bernie Sanders is. I mean, he mansplains a bit, which is a bit of a problem, but...
Yeah, you know, but, I mean, they're at the very least, it's a refreshing change from what we've seen. He
wags his finger at people.
Yeah. I think that's kind of...
Hold on.
I think that's kind of the nature of politics, though. I mean, even you look at it, because you hear a lot about Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr, lately, and you even talk about, like, the concept of the duel back then.
Oh, yeah, politics has always been messy.
How it's been, like, this, like, a lot of the times, they just end up refusing to fire at each other, but it's, like, to save face that they actually go onto the dueling field.
Well, it's also dueling was a lot different back then. I mean, we think of dueling as like this kind of intense sport. It's not.
They literally sat in front of each other.
Shot, but it was so inaccurate that you had a chance of missing. So you haven't, like, I thought the best depiction of a duel was actually in Roots. Movie Roots, then remake Roots?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually really accurate. Like, you'll miss, you hit the tree, you'll blow off someone's like cheek.
Yeah.
You'll hit the arm, but it's like you're aiming at his chest. Right?
Yeah.
It's like it's not an effective way. It's really a game of chicken.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it's no different from, you know, the greaser guys in their cars speeding down the road. It's
very different from our idea of like a fencing duel, which is about skill.
Well, what about in The Simpsons?
I don't know.
He goes around and slaps people and I challenge you to a duel.
That's true. And then the Colonel Sanders guy actually like accepts.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All right. Midday tomorrow.
Yeah. Or Charlie and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia challenges like a lawyer to a duel and the guy accepts.
It was the newer season.
Would you accept a duel?
To duel with pistols?
No.
No, probably not.
What about you?
What about no, man, I don't know how to fucking fire a pistol.
How about fencing?
Fencing? Well, yeah, I'm not against that. My brother's a fencer.
Do you have any skill in it? It's not like osmosis because your brother's worked hard at it. Somehow you have moderate skills in it.
No, wait, what did you say?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, his brother's what?
Is his brother skilled at it?
Oh, I thought you said something else completely different.
Yeah, my brother's a skilled fencer.
I thought you said the R word, bro. I swear to God.
What's the R word?
I thought you said... just because your brother's retarded doesn't mean...
Why would I say that?
I don't know, man. That's what I heard.
What is your problem?
Does it even make sense contextually?
That's what I was saying.
Said because his brother is skilled at it, you don't learn via osmosis.
How did you get retarded
from skilled?
I don't know,
but I heard it.
Like, they don't even sound the same.
You know, it's one of those weird things, though, because sometimes whenever... this has happened to me in my life several times with a lot of different people, too, where it's like somehow you say someone's dead, but somehow you hear they're gay. Have you had that before?
What?
Yeah, but not like...
I know, but like it's really
not,
yeah.
Not dead and gay and not retarded and
skilled.
But
there's a Simpsons, actually a joke in The Simpsons about that too. It's like he's like yelling out. Homer's like yelling out from his car about Ned Flanders being a best friend, and then Lenny and Carl were like, "What'd he say?" And they're like, "I don't know. He said something about being gay." Like, it's a really weird. Some people hear gay all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mishear things.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm not gay and
shut up.
Dead or retarded.
I played back the audio. I had to stop it just to make sure I wasn't crazy. You said just because your brother worked hard at it, and I was like, "What?" I thought you worked hard at it. Sounded like retarded at it.
Yeah, but retarded it.
Retarded at it.
Let's be real. Contextually, it makes no sense.
That's why it threw me off, bro. That's why I said something. I looked up and I was like, huh?
Diz contextually rarely makes sense.
This
so
is true.
That's the way that he thinks.
Yeah, my mind doesn't work like as a normal functioning person's does.
But to get back at it, yes, I would accept a fencing duel. And the reason why I brought up my brother's skill at it was at the very least, if I were to die, they'd be able to be proud of me about something.
What? Because you failed at what your brother's good at?
Yeah.
Why would they be proud of that?
Like school.
What were you talking
about? Like school or employment.
What were you talking about? Logic and contextually not making sense? Because you just, I don't know what the hell you just said.
And this is the one with the degree. I'm the dumb one here.
I'll be honest. I have no idea what you mean by that. That your family would be proud that you failed a skill your brother is good at.
No, they'd be proud of the fact that I tried something.
Oh, you tried something, man. You said something. Really low expectations in your life.
That's true. Like, never be disappointed.
They'd be proud that you tried and died. It's like, dude.
Kang is good at that. V tried it and he died. So he died. At least we're proud of him for trying.
Yeah, at least he made an effort. It's more he's done in his 30 years of life.
You know, I'm not laughing because it's completely true.
This is so sad. This took a turn for the worse.
It's really funny because my parents are actually some of the best people in the world. My family's awesome, and like I always misrepresent them whenever I talk about.
Now you just sound defensive.
Yeah, I know it's horrible.
There's no digging you.
You're the least favorite child in the house.
I'm not. Yeah,
you're most people's least favorite.
Me?
Yeah.
Says who?
That's most people.
So, yeah. I mean, if it makes you feel better, I'm the least favorite child at anyone's house most of the time. So,
wait, I thought he was talking about me being the least favorite.
Yeah, well, you know, both of us are misfits when it comes down to it.
You're a bit of a misfit. I'm a misfit. It's okay.
Fuck you, man.
See, he takes this stuff really personally.
Seriously.
Because being well-liked is like...
That's my thing.
It's the only thing he's gotten in his life.
See, that's why you should get a Pokemon Go, because it's a social thing. It's like Tinder, only, you know, like you're catching other things than VD.
Are you still on Tinder?
I created one.
You created again?
When I went to New York, I had to. I was like, I'm trying to get some strange New York poontang.
You gonna hit on more of my friends on Tinder?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I hit on one of his friends on Tinder. I didn't hit on her.
Why did you never tell V?
Seriously. Well, me and Ali talked about this the other week, all right?
Are you going to have an intervention with me?
I found out about this Tinder thing.
Through a third source.
Not her?
And no, she didn't tell me.
You sure as hell didn't tell me. Why didn't you tell him?
And I heard it, and it was literally like...
I'm actually legitimately curious about this.
It was like three or four weeks after you said you deleted it on the podcast.
No, it was 2 months after I said I deleted
it. So, like, look, if I was hitting on one of your friends, I would tell you.
First off, right? I didn't hear her.
If you, I would hope that if you were hitting on one of my friends, you'd tell me.
Yeah.
Right? I'm curious why you didn't tell V.
Because nothing happened.
But you didn't say that, hey, V, I know someone that you know.
No, because that's awkward. Like, hey, V, I matched up with your friend on Tinder, bro. What's up?
But not telling him seems even shadier.
No, because then I know how V thinks of me. He thinks I'm going to try to bang his friend. Which, I mean...
You did try to bang his friend.
No, I didn't.
It's Tinder.
That's literally what you were doing.
I didn't try to bang her.
We tried.
We talked about Game of Thrones. I got bored and I went on Tinder when I was pooping and I swiped right. And she happened to swipe right too. And then we talked about Game of Thrones.
What happened?
And that's it. And like, I forgot that I had the app. So I go back to it and I see this message. And I was like, oh shit, she invited me out to hang out. And I felt super bad.
And so you never responded?
No.
Diz!
For the love of God, are you kidding me?
I don't go on it anymore.
So wait, after you have this fantastic Game of Thrones discussion.
It wasn't a fantastic Game of Thrones discussion. We just talked about it. We talked about the
episode. Was it the level of our YouTube video?
No, it wasn't.
Where we discussed Game of Thrones, you could find right now.
No, yeah.
Thumbs in the bums. Give us a like.
When you search Game of Currently Nerdy on YouTube and find the Game of Thrones Season 6 review.
Yeah. So
we didn't go in depth like that. Yeah.
Okay.
But we talked about the episode.
And then you just said goodbye?
I didn't say anything.
You just stopped responding?
You just stopped. You just cut all communication?
She stopped responding first. And then a few days later, I guess she had messaged me like, hey, we're going to go to the Spectrum and grab a few drinks with some friends if you'd like to join. I didn't see that until a month later. And I was like, oh, shit. I'm sorry. I totally didn't see this message. I feel like shit. And she's like, no, it's okay. And, like, I don't know. Like, I haven't gone on Tinder since then. I don't use my Tinder. I have it, but I don't use it.
So not only did you hit on V's friend trying to sleep with her.
I didn't.
But then...
I talked Game of Thrones.
You were a dick to her.
You disrespected her.
I didn't disrespect her. And is that why you didn't tell me?
On her name.
No, I didn't tell
her. And you disrespected me by not letting me know.
What? First off, it's not a big deal. It's a fucking Tinder match. I match with...
I'd be offended.
But if I had a mutual... Like, you were a mutual friend of someone, I matched it on Tinder.
And you were starting to hit on her? Yeah, what if I... didn't hit on her. What if I was interested?
We talked Game of Thrones.
Please, okay? Game of Thrones consists of sex and killing one another, all right?
She just asked me what I thought of the episode.
Same
That's all it was. She said, what did you do tonight?
We were practically watching porn together.
Seriously.
It was after the fact. We didn't watch it together, motherfucker. We just talked about it.
I'm just after saying the fact. This is somewhat.
You're starting to turn this into something it's not. I did not have any sexual relations with that woman.
I don't care if you had sexual.
Had I had sexual relations with that woman, I would have told you.
No, you should have told him before you even tried to have sexual relations. That's what you're not getting.
Listen, okay, I even told you this. I was like, I'm fine with it. You know, talk to whoever you want. Hit on whoever the hell you want. Have relations with anybody.
Uh-huh.
I'm not one to judge.
Okay.
Right? But the least you could do would be like,
you
hey,
penetrated his social circle.
Wait, without
his consent.
Stop. Time out.
Consent is the key word here, Diz.
Stop it. First off, you're fucking making allegations and you're completely false because it's not his social circle because it's not really his friend. She met him through a mutual friend and they've only like spoke to each other a few times.
How do you know Facebook this?
Because she told me.
You said you even talked about him.
I said, oh, how do you know V?
You... For fuck's sake, Diz, you make this even worse. Not only did you penetrate his social circle, but then you talked about him in his social circle. This is a violation. This is a violation on so many different levels.
It absolutely is.
Is she your friend?
Yeah.
Like, no. By a real definition of friend. Not an acquaintance.
Are you saying she said she wasn't his friend?
Bro, he doesn't even know what color her eyes are. Do you?
Blue.
Lies.
You're sitting here. What you're doing is you're adding salt. You're adding salt onto the wound.
I am
this
not.
This is his dear friend.
Seriously.
Dearest of his friends.
It's not.
First amongst his friends.
Bullshit.
And you're sitting here now. Not only did you offend your friendship with him, insult the friendship you have with him, but now you're insulting their treasured, cherished friendship.
If they're seriously. Such good friends, why didn't she tell him about it?
Because she was embarrassed. I know this.
I'd be embarrassed.
Yeah.
Fuck you. I'm a fucking awesome
you know, also,
guy.
To be fair, you know.
She realized you were 5'2".
Yeah.
We never hung out, so she never got that far.
Yeah, she saw the scale on the photo.
Kiss my ass. It's just me in the photo. It's no one else in there.
It's you and the TV.
Nope.
I see the TV in the background.
Of what?
I know your Tinder profile.
It's not my Tinder profile. I changed that shit.
Your Tinder profile is your Facebook profile.
It's not. My Facebook profile picture is a picture of me and a baby. Why would I put that on my Tinder profile?
Well, you saw the size of you compared to the baby.
But
short.
That's not on there. You guys are just making up things right
taking
now.
Taking shits bigger than him.
Fuck you. Women don't poop. What were you saying?
Listen, she knows that I can be a bit judgmental when I find things are important. All right. I literally berated her for like 15 minutes because I found a bottle of Behringer White Zinfandel in her apartment once. Okay. Like, I got really,
it's
I got
good to
really
know that
upset.
V mansplains over the important thing.
Behringer
Zinfandel.
Look at this guy. You fucking wine enthusiast. Like, oh, why are you drinking a white Zinfandel?
I got upset. And
he didn't even drink himself.
Yeah. I know, right?
I got very upset. I have to admit it, all right? I got irrationally upset.
It's because you're a wine Somalian.
And I felt bad. I'm not a Somalian. I'm a sommelier.
Same difference.
Okay, I'm not.
I didn't even catch the Somalian bit. I missed it this time.
I'm just
either
going
way,
everywhere today.
I felt bad afterwards because I realized I was being too judgmental, and I can understand why she wouldn't want to tell me, because Lord knows that I would go apeshit over the fact that she'd even, you know, fraternize with you.
I want to know.
I'm jealous.
Why did you lie to us?
Seriously,
I never lied to you.
Us.
How did I lie to you guys?
You lied to us about Tinder. You said you deleted it.
Mm-hmm. I did delete it. Then I opened it up again.
That's not deleting, though.
It is. I deleted it.
That's taking a break.
Well, I didn't know I was going to take a break at the time. At the time, I thought I was just going to delete it. And then I opened it because I got bored in New York on myself.
This sounds a lot like lying to me.
It's not lying.
Lied to me.
I never lied.
You took a big old shat all over your friendship with V.
I didn't do any of that.
By penetrating his social circle.
I didn't penetrate anything.
I'm just saying this is.
I wish I'd penetrated stuff. I didn't.
Oh, but like, when were you planning on telling him?
There's.
I wasn't.
That's even worse.
See, that's why? Like, you know, you're like this. You're like the like a poor girl's boyfriend who goes, "I'm sorry, I cheated on you, but I was in Vegas. You know, I don't know what happened."
How does any of this equate to cheating? I talked to your friend.
You on a cheated on B.
That's right.
With who? You were unfaithful to your friendship.
Exactly.
They are bonds, oaths you take to become friends.
Because
implied oaths of loyalty.
Seriously.
What honesty.
What implied oath?
Dignity.
Where was I dishonest?
I'm pretty sure I'm just naming off like police.
Yeah, I know. You bearded felonious bastard.
Listen, I did nothing wrong.
You betrayed your oaths of friendship.
In seriously. What sense? Because I fraternized with his friend on a fucking social media
you
website?
Did more than fraternize.
It's the bro code.
It's I didn't.
You
I,
had intention.
There was no intention.
Seriously. There was an intention.
That I once
when asked you open up Tinder, there's
the friendship
intention.
App.
Not only did you break the bro code, but worse, not the friendship code of honor.
How so?
It's written on everyone's
I think
on wall. See, it's on my
shit.
Wall.
Seriously.
That's not on your wall.
It's written in Arabic.
You're both full of shit. I did
not only did
wrong.
You violate the friendship code of honor, but more importantly, you knew you did because you talked to her about it.
Seriously.
I didn't I said, "Oh, you know V." That's
and
all
then you're
I
like,
said.
"Let's not tell him."
I never said that.
I saw it. I saw the Tinder conversation.
Yeah. You're a liar.
I know how to hack now.
No, you don't. You don't even know how to use the thumbprint scanner on your phone.
Look, what? There's a thumbprint scanner?
Yeah.
This thing is taking my thumbprint?
You
can't. Give me a flip phone immediately.
See? Don't listen to him. He's trying to...
I'm telling you that he said, you know, V, we shouldn't tell him this ever happened.
He's trying to...
No, here's the thing, okay? Normally, I wouldn't trust Lee with technology, but I saw him looking into a crystal ball.
Yep.
And he actually went. He literally read off the text, and that's how I found out. I was protecting him, but he decided to implicate himself.
Yeah, I did. I saw him.
He's the third. He's the smoking gun. He's the third party. Yeah.
I just can't. I'm just imagining.
He was wearing a turban with a giant jewel in the middle of it.
Right now, you and like Aladdin fucking. Gear.
What's so funny about that? That's my Saturday gear.
Seriously.
I just see.
He wears. You know, if you bother to go to his class once in a while, like I do, he wears that when he teaches.
I have worn a turban to school. I did. I wore a turban in the class.
If you wore a turban to the spectrum once.
You did. But I did it for pedagogical reasons.
What?
I was teaching.
I heard something else.
Why did you get so startled? Big words, like really, like you got startled.
I heard
pedagogical.
I thought you said pedophilical.
No, there's not even remotely close.
Pedophilical is not even a word.
Nope.
It's something with like young hairs.
Pedagogical means related to teaching.
I don't
pedagogy.
Know.
Pedagogy. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what you're saying. Stop it.
Anyways.
I don't know if I can forgive you, Diz.
I'm not asking for your forgiveness.
This type of betrayal.
God just shows you how much he values your friendship.
Seriously.
He literally said, "I'm not asking for your forgiveness."
I did nothing wrong, and I will not ask forgiveness, and I owe you no apologies nor no explanations.
You were a shit friend.
I am not a shit friend.
You've always been a shit friend, but you've proved it now.
Seriously.
I mean, you could have at least said, "I'm sorry."
For what? I didn't do anything wrong.
But your defiant stance just goes to show you that your ego is more important to you. Than your friendship with V.
That's not true.
After all I've done for you.
Yeah. What have you ever done for me?
I bought you cigarettes when we were younger.
You did that.
Why did you buy him cigarettes?
Because you wouldn't let me smoke. So
you went behind my back and bought him cigarettes?
And he never told you about it. Until 12 years later.
Am I the only loyal person on this podcast? I am surrounded by traitors. Turncoats. You Benedict Arnolds, the lot of you.
He waited 12 years.
You unfaithful.
Actually, no, I didn't. Albino bought him cigarettes.
The employee? Can't even trust your own employees?
Because Albino bought me cigarettes.
For fuck's sake.
But V gave them to me.
Can't trust anybody in this world.
He handed off like three.
That's the lesson of this podcast. You can't trust anybody. Can't trust nobody but yourself.
I was in the back seat of your Jeep, and he gave me three cigarettes as he was leaving. He said, "Here you go.
You piece of shit." Fuck you and fuck you.
He never told you. He never was planning on it.
I hate both of you. You're disloyal. Can't trust anything in this room. I'm legitimately angry about you. I'm thinking of ways of getting even. You should be worried.
What did I do?
I'm 12 years in the waiting. This has been...
That's V. That's all V. That wasn't me.
It's going to be bad.
I just took a...
You may lose a testicle or two to this.
I'm still
well, not anything sorry. That Ali does to me, I'm doing twice to you, Dis.
I'm still not sorry.
You lose your testicles. What two things are you taking of his?
Both of his testicles.
Fair enough. I think this arrangement is perfect.
Fuck you. Nothing happens to him. Why are we letting him harm us?
Because I'm loyal.
He's building a wedge between our friendship.
I am a faithful man. I've always been faithful. I am a fantastic friend. I've always put others' needs before mine.
What?
I've always put others' needs before mine.
That's not true.
That's very true.
That's unceremoniously untrue.
Is that
use a proper term?
No, do not use it properly. Use it absolutely 100% incorrectly.
But how so? Unceremoniously.
Unceremoniously means like without ceremony.
Oh, so you did it without ceremony.
No, like I told the truth unceremoniously. Like there's no, you weren't standing on ceremony.
So I used it in like the opposite.
No, you didn't use it in any sense. Like there's no logic in what you did.
I used it is what you're saying.
No, yeah.
I did use it.
Well, deny that. Even that's debatable. To be honest with you. Even that's somewhat debatable. Speaking of not trusting anyone.
Really
yeah, I am. So the cops.
We're going to hell. We're going to hell.
Oh my God.
So, you're speaking the first to go.
Of not being able to trust nobody. But yourself.
I can't. Guys, so this is the most offensive podcast ever.
This is really offensive. So right after we finished our podcast.
Literally.
All hell broke loose in the United States. So the first thing that happened on July 5th, which was like the day of the podcast, right, that we were recording.
Yes, that Tuesday.
Alton Sterling was a guy standing outside of a convenience store selling
CDs.
Supposedly, the police responded to somebody threatening somebody with a gun.
Correct. Or so they say.
So they approached Alton Sterling. The shop owner says it's not him. Right? That they got the wrong guy. They tackle him. He's a 37-year-old man. Tackle him to the ground. Tase him. You hear he's got a gun, and they shoot him several times at point-blank range.
Five times.
There's two videos. One taken by the shop owner.
Yes.
One taken by someone in the car. Both videos show quite clearly that his hands were nowhere near his pockets or nowhere near the gun.
Well, one hand was pinned under the cop's
knee. And the other hand was in his chest. The cops are now claiming that he was reaching for his gun, right?
They always claim that he reached for the gun. Yeah.
So it's Howie Lake and Blaine Salamone are the guys' names. And they're both saying, and interestingly, both of these people have been previously investigated for excessive force. That's the funny thing. That's always the case. Like cops, they get proven innocent, right? Like they're, not guilty. 2 years later, it comes out, they get fired for an unrelated incident where they excessively beat the shit out of someone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Happens all the time. So these cops have already been investigated for excessive force. They shot this guy point blank range. But here's the iffy thing, right? The cops then showed up to the guy, the shop owner's store.
Yes.
And they said, we need the video.
The security cam video.
Yeah. Abdullah Muflahi.
Yeah.
And they took the security cam video without a warrant, even though the guy said you couldn't take it. He's now suing Baton Rouge and its police department for illegally taking the security system without a warrant, confiscating it. And for taking him into custody.
Yes, because handcuffed him and put him in the back of a cop car for an hour or two, right?
Yeah, they took him into custody too. When they decided that they were going to take the stuff, he gave him a day. When they didn't release the videos, he hadn't told them that he had recorded on his cell phone video. That's where the second video comes from. He actually gave them the benefit of the doubt. He's like, maybe they'll release the videos. And they didn't. He's like, all right, fine, I'll do it myself. It was very smart of him that he didn't tell them that it was on his phone, because usually they'll either delete it or they'll destroy it. And I'll tell you why that's important with the next case, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the first case. Alton Sterling, shot, killed, point blank range. Literally the next day, July 6th, Philando Castile was shot in his own car.
Yes.
He was driving with his girlfriend and his adopted child, or his foster child. It's not his kid.
She was 4 years old.
Yeah, so he was the stepfather.
Yeah.
And they were pulled over for supposedly a broken taillight. The video now indicates
The
tail light's probably fine.
The dash cam audio indicates that the cop says these two fit the description of a previous burglary. Well, more so the driver because of the wide set nose.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, he's not. This is. There's been a video circulating that he's robbed something. He isn't.
No, he's innocent. No. That was not the case.
So he pulls him over, Geronimo or Geronimo Yanez. And we have a video. The girlfriend.
This is after the fact.
Diamond Reynolds live streamed after Philando Castile got shot.
Philando.
And it's horrific. He has an open carry license. He has a gun. He tells the officer, "Officer, I have a weapon. I have a carry permit for it." He's like, "I need to see ID." He's like, "I'm reaching for my ID." And he ends up getting shot several times. And we watch the man die live.
Yeah.
On Facebook. Now, she live streamed it to Facebook.
Correct.
Right. So we saw him die before our very eyes.
Yes.
Which show us that all the arguments and ambiguities that we see in the Alton Sterling case about resisting arrest are completely bullshit in the Philando Castile case.
Yeah.
Because this is an incident where he did comply.
Yeah.
When he did follow the orders. When he did do what the officer said and he still ended up shot, indicating that it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to get shot. Right?
Yep.
We saw him die before our eyes. Turns out that the video was removed.
From Facebook?
Originally, Facebook said it was a technical glitch. It's now coming out that someone went through her phone and deleted it off of her phone. After they shot Philando, they arrested Diamond Reynolds and her child.
The four-year-old.
After arresting them, imagine for a moment that you're Diamond Reynolds. You just saw your boyfriend, your partner, your lover get shot.
And killed.
And killed in front of your child. And you have to have the presence of mind and the calmness to make sure you don't get shot. You can't cry. You can't fight. You can't scream. You can't have any of the normal reactions. You have to make sure that you're calm while the police himself is freaking out, by the way. You can see him in the video.
Yelling at him. He's pointing the gun.
He's freaking out on the video. You have to sit there and say, "Yes, sir, no, sir," to your boyfriend's killer.
Yeah.
And to make matters worse, now that motherfucker's on paid administrative leave.
They're all on paid administrative leave.
It's fucking bullshit.
So after the Philando Castile case and the Alton Sterling case, again, more shootings of unarmed, in this case armed, black men, legally armed, I should say, black men by police officers in the United States, Black Lives Matter came out in force. They shut down Los Angeles. They shut down Dallas. They shut down Oakland. They shut down New York, Atlanta, a variety of different places, right? And then, unfortunately, we had an incident.
Yeah.
So, 5th, 6th, now July 7th, all in a matter of 3 days. Mika Xavier Johnson, a former veteran of the Afghan War, or the Afghan occupation, as I like to call it. He was a black man, former military, with military-grade equipment and body armor, used the Black Lives Matter protest in Dallas to open fire on police officers using sniper rifles and using
assault rifles,
as well as having explosives of some type. He had some on him. He claimed there was other ones that they never found, right? He was part of the Army Reserves. And it ended up killing two civilians were injured. 5 officers were killed. 12 others were injured. They eventually killed this man. There was a big old controversy. They thought there was multiple shooters. Turns out it was just him, just multiple vantages. This video of him killing an officer, you see it. The man is clearly well-trained.
Yeah.
Right? The way he comes up on the officer and kills the officer is horrifying. And it is extraordinarily tragic. But he claims that he was doing this because he was angry at white people. He wanted to kill white people, especially white officers, and he was upset because of the Black Lives Matter movement. So now we've entered into a new stage of race tensions in this country.
But did he, though? Like, do we have proof of it?
He's not. In no way, shape, or form is he associated with Black Lives Matter. Right?
That's what I'm saying.
But he's claiming that Black Lives, he's upset about those incidents. That doesn't reflect on the entirety of Black Lives Matter. But people are interpreting it that way.
Yeah.
The way they're talking about it, I'll give you a variety of different examples. One, almost every single person that has referred to this case does not call it, in the mainstream media, an act of terror.
No.
Very few people have referred to this as terrorism. They have referred to this as an ambush by Black Lives Matter.
The movement.
Yeah. They call it a Black Lives Matter act. They're not saying all Black Lives Matter, but they are connecting it in the mainstream narrative.
Correct.
And a lot of people have been pushing back on this. They've done other things. Whenever there's anyone who's an assassin of some sort, right, they refer to them by all three names. John
Wilkes Booth.
Yeah, that's what they're supposed to do. They deliberately have been calling him Mika X Johnson.
Yeah.
Which connects him to
Malcolm X.
Malcolm X and the Nation of Islam and African nationalism. They have since gone through his
internet searches
and his documents and his Facebook and saw that he's friends with very famous Afro-pessimist historians, scholars, and professors. So now those people have been put on watch. We're entering into a new era of criminalizing, surveilling, monitoring, regulating Black Lives Matter. The death of those Dallas officers is horrific.
Tragic.
And no officer deserves to be shot in
it. Senseless, unwarranted.
Senseless and unwarranted. But let's be very clear here. While everyone is focused on those police officers, the countless black people that have been shot is being forgotten.
But Ali.
That is what the conversation is about.
But
you do not choose to be black. You choose to put on a badge and put yourself in the line of fire. It's horrible. It's terrible. I wish it was all nonviolent and we didn't kill each other.
Let me tell you something, Ali. All right? Because you're a libtard and you don't know any better. More white people get shot by the police than black people do.
This is a very standard kind of conversation, right? First, they talk about black-on-black violence. Second, they talk about more white people being killed. This, generally, when you're talking to someone like that and they say that, you can quickly know that they don't know basic statistics.
Correct.
Yes, most violence is intra-racial. Not intra-racial, meaning white people kill white people.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a common thing because communities tend to be segregated.
Correct.
Yeah.
Secondly, black people are killed at a proportionately higher rate.
About 3.5 times more.
Yeah, it's 2.5, actually. 2.5 times more likely to be killed.
If you're black males.
Even if
higher.
It's a smaller amount. They also account for less of the population.
They account for 6% of the population. So it's basic statistics here. Black males.
The problem is that with the death of these police officers, this conversation about Black Lives Matter is now going to be erased. Everyone's focusing on the heroism of the cops, right? And that's great. That's fantastic. But they're not focusing on the fact that the police are a racist apparatus of the state.
Correct.
I'm not talking about individual police officers, though many of them tend to be. I'm talking about as an institution, how even black officers will profile black men because they become part of an institution that criminalizes black bodies. We live in a system where selling CDs, broken taillight, running because you're afraid of child support, all end in summary executions. That is the definition of a police state.
What I don't get is this. Like, people who are like super anti-Black Lives Matter, like, I don't get how you're so anti-government and like, oh yeah, big government, down with the government, I hate the liberals, you know, fucking libertarian, but are making like excuses for police officers.
Well, here's the thing. They're not anti-government. They're anti-Barack Obama's government.
True.
And the same people that are anti-government now were the ones that said, if you question George W. Bush, you're a traitor.
Yeah. Also pro-Patriot Act.
Yeah. So that's the clear. It's always been racialized. The same thing with the NRA. After every mass shooting, the NRA is very big about good guys with guns.
Yeah.
Where were they now? Why aren't they defending Philando Castile's right to carry arms? Why not? He had a carry permit. Yeah. Why aren't they out there saying that man had a legal right to carry? Where are they? Where is their announcements? What about after the Dallas shooting? Where were they talking about good guys with cops, with good guys with guns?
Yeah, because there was a shit ton of cops there.
It didn't stop. More guns didn't stop the violence. In fact, it was the presence of guns that allowed that violence to happen.
Correct, because people...
So you see, it's always been racialized.
Because people were walking around open carry. They have a picture of that one guy who's wearing like a camouflage t-shirt or something.
Yeah.
And he's got his AR-15 and he's like kind of just smiling, walking down. They're like, police are looking for this man.
Yeah.
He
turned in his weapon.
His weapon when he heard gunshots. And then when he found out that he was a suspect, he turned himself into the police willfully, saying, I had nothing to do with this. I was trying to help officers.
They cleared him, and they didn't remove the picture from the Twitter.
Still up.
For days. No, it's down, now, without any statement. So the man has been receiving nonstop hate, death threats, and whatnot. They never cleared him publicly. They just deleted it.
To the point where he said, I was with my family at a hotel because I'm too afraid to go home, and a group of people came after me at that hotel. He's like, I fear for my life.
Where is... those gun right enthusiasts, where are they defending him?
He did nothing wrong.
It's always, this is the thing that I've been saying over and over and over again, and now we're seeing tangible evidence of it, right? That the Second Amendment is racialized. The conversation about guns is not a separate conversation from the conversation about race in this country. That the two are intimately entwined with one another. That a white man carrying a gun is exercising his rights. That a black man carrying a gun is a threat. And we see this over and over again.
Even a child holding a toy gun.
The Planned Parenthood shooter shot at officers and was taken alive. Remember that.
Yep.
Shot at officers and was taken alive. These two men, Alton Sterling and Philando Castile, didn't shoot at officers, didn't even point their guns at officers, but are now dead.
Yeah. Hey, the Bundys.
The Bundys.
They literally had a compound.
They were aiming their guns at federal agents, right?
They're alive.
They're alive today. These are all ways in race. There's another aspect of this that really also bothers me, and that is the way they killed the shooter. So did you guys find out how they
killed him? With the bomb or with the... like the.
They sent a drone or they sent a robot.
Yeah.
A bomb robot. And... with an explosive to the end of it, and they killed him. Now, that is very important. That's the first time that's ever happened.
Is that not illegal?
It's a gray area. Because there's no laws about it.
But here's the thing.
We're entering this age where the laws are trying to catch up with the technology.
Isn't...
there's no law in the book that says, please don't use robots to kill people.
I thought the whole point...
like, there's no one's ever come up with that law yet.
No, but here's maybe I'm ignorant at this, or, you know, because I'm stupid when it comes to a lot of things. Maybe I don't know about this, but my understanding is that you want to apprehend a suspect.
You're supposed to de-escalate and apprehend
unless...
Now, they argue that they couldn't de-escalate him, that he continued to be escalated. But here's the thing. We're having a hard time looking past the kind of tragedy of the event, and I get it, right? To the fact that we just saw a state-sponsored execution without any trial, without any legal apparatus. Simply, they sent a bomb and exploded it and killed him. That's a problem. Now, I get it. It's complicated. He was in a shootout. He was firing back, all right? We saw a similar case out here in California with the man who was an guy who was shooting officers.
Is his name Michael Dorner?
It was Eric Dorner.
Eric Dorner. Yeah.
And what they did is they used drones to track him, right? Uh-huh. They eventually set fire. They used a type of grenade. It's like a flashbang that actually explodes, caused the fire, and they killed him.
Yeah. They claimed that was an accident, though, right?
They claimed it was an accident, right? I don't understand why they don't use flashbangs. I don't understand why they don't use these things that disorient. There's a lot of non-lethal tools out there that they have.
Yeah, at their disposal.
But the use of a drone to track a suspect and the use of a drone or some type of robotic device to blow up a suspect are both instances of new technologies being used against black people.
Yeah, because he was black. Dorner was black.
Yeah, that's two. This tells us that we're headed into an... Now, maybe it's an exception. Maybe we don't have to worry about it. But it tells us that even with new technology, what we're not seeing is an equal society or a better society. We're seeing a society with newer ways of killing and reaffirming the social hierarchy that already exists.
See, here's what... Like, I had this talk with some friends and coworkers. And I was like, I don't like the way they did it. Like, I don't like that they... It
makes me very uncomfortable.
I was like, that's kind of weird to me that they used a drone and blew up a drone in there or used a bomb on a drone. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. My coworkers and my friends were saying, well, he's like, they're like, we don't like it either. But you got to understand, man, in that situation, they were probably like so pissed off that their fellow cops were killed, that they were going to do whatever it takes now, to kill this guy.
That's a good point. Here's the thing, though. They don't have that right.
I was like, that's not the legal problem.
We have part of the issue that we have, and there's this DJ, radio DJ, that does it brilliantly.
Peter Rosenberg.
Was it Peter Rosenberg that does it?
Yeah.
He flips out. Yeah. He goes, I'm sick and tired of it. Your cops are acting like a cult. And he's right. Cops, this kind of the thin blue line has turned into a wall of silence. That you can't even critique cops, that cops can't critique cops, and that when you do, you're a traitor, right? We've turned into this realm that it's us against them. And when we think that way, that's a police state. And the police state almost always will target the minorities, the mm-hmm. marginalized, the people on the outskirts of community. When you have CNN host a conversation about this, they have Mark Lamont Hill on one side. Mm-hmm. They have Harry Hurick on the other side, the former police officer, mm-hmm. who stands up and goes, there's statistical proof that blacks are inclined towards criminality.
Oh, God, yeah.
Blacks are inclined to criminality. CNN had a guy on there that said that.
But I'm not a racist, though. Like,
I've watched Harry Hurick. After the Dallas shooting, he cried on TV. I saw him on CNN. He choked up. He said these men were heroes, and he cried. Never once have I seen him tear up for the countless black people that have been shot. In fact, every single time they bring him on, it's because a black person has been shot. And he immediately does what?
Defends the cops.
They resisted arrest. The cop has a right to defend himself. This is what we're talking about. If the cops are incapable of an imminent critique, of self-critique, then what do we do?
Like, I said this to people, and, like, it may sound offensive, and if I'm being offensive or, like, stupid, please tell me if I am. But when you have a system that refuses to, like, critique itself or police itself about what's going on and, like, trying to fix the fucked up shit that they're doing, you're going to have a society that feels like that system doesn't care about them.
This is the thing. I am not blaming... I'm not trying to excuse the actions of Johnson. I'm not.
No.
I'm not excusing the violence. There's no excuse for violence.
No, not at all.
But people resort to violence when they feel like they have no other political recourse.
That's what I'm saying. So for me, it's not that I'm okay with it. Because I'm not. I'm absolutely 100% not okay with what he did. Right? Johnson should not have done that.
No.
But... is it bad to say I understand the rationale behind doing it? No,
this is the nuance of it. There's a process of radicalization that happens. Radicalization, it's the same thing with Daesh. It's the same thing with ISIS. These are groups, and I've said this before on this podcast, right? They're the tea parties of the world, but they don't have a political system into which to be a tea party. Mm-hmm. When there is no political structure, what do? You then commit violence, right? You find an alternative way of get expressing your resistance. And that resistance tends to be violent.
Yeah. Right?
You're radicalized when you don't have a means of addressing the wrongs that you've faced.
Yeah.
If we continue to refuse to address the problems of this country, race problems, police brutality, the gun rights, all that will happen is we will see an escalation of violence. After Dallas, Tennessee had the same thing where we had an officer being shot.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying that this is we can excuse these. We're not excusing these acts. And we sure as hell are not connecting them to Black Lives Matter.
No.
This isn't Black Lives Matter becoming terrorists. They're not. These are peaceful protesters. But people are being fed up.
Yeah.
And that's an important thing to consider.
Here's the thing. All right.
And violence resistant, as horrific as it is still resistance.
Yeah.
Now, when there is an act of terror committed by like a Muslim, right? For whatever reason, we feel compelled to speak out against it. We're expected to speak out against it. We're critiqued when we don't speak out against it. If we
by
don't,
we you mean Muslim.
By Muslim, yeah. Like you and I. Like we're two brown folks, right? When Orlando happened, what did we do? Within a few days,
statements were released.
Statements were released.
Conversations were
had. Yeah, we went live and did like a special on TSN. We did that. Not because like we felt we had to.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to, right?
Right.
Because we wanted to tackle the issue of what caused Orlando. Not the radicalization of Islam. We talked about homophobia. Because that was in our mind the bigger thing. But when we don't speak out against it, you get like the media, like you'll have people like, why aren't more Muslims condemning ISIS? Why aren't more Muslims standing up against ISIS, right? Mm-hmm. Like you'll see the fucking Bill O'Reillys and Rush Limbaugh say this shit. Now, for me, as a non-practicing Muslim male, but who associates with Muslim, like when I see other Muslims do something bad, I want to call that shit out because I want to say that's not my like my Islam or that's not what a representation of Muslims should be. You should look at people like this and like this instead of looking at people like this. If you're a police officer, you should be the first one out there pissed off about bad cops because they're the ones making the good cops look bad.
Mm-hmm.
If people really were like, it's just a few bad cops. Those good cops should be the ones like, no, these are fucking bad cops. And I refuse to stand up for
what they did. Well, I know where you're coming from. I'm going to push back just slightly because I'm going to say this. I know where your intention is, but I'm going to take it actually further, right?
Uh-huh.
That Muslims don't have an obligation to speak for the people who'd commit acts because Muslims are not homogenous. Religion is not an organization.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
It has certain social functions, right? It exists in society. Cops, however, are part of an institution that has a very deliberate socio-political function in society.
Mm-hmm.
If that function is racist, they have even more of a burden. Nonus is even more so on them than it is on Muslims. Muslims are individuals.
Correct.
They may be part of communities. They may form groups, but they're not part of an organization.
No.
Islam is not a social organization.
No, but I'm not.
It's not a political organization. Cops are. They're part of a legal apparatus. The onus is doubly so on them.
Yeah.
Because what we're seeing is not, it's not bad cops. This is where I'm pushing back. It's not.
Okay.
It's not a few bad cops. Yeah. It is a structural, systemic, institutional problem. Even good cops are part of the problem.
You know who said this brilliantly? Rapper J. Cole.
I don't know who that is.
They asked him about the good cop, bad cop. He's like, so do you think like all cops are bad? He's like, no, don't get me wrong. There are lots of good people that are police officers. But by being a police officer, you're part of a system that brings about inequality and injustice. So you may be good, but what you're doing is you're working for a system of
exactly. Bad. There is no good cop, bad cop here. There isn't. There isn't this like, oh, some cops are good. I'm sure there are. Even the good cops are part of a structure, an infrastructure, an institution that is racist, that produces inequality, oppression, and polices, regulates, demonizes, and criminalizes black bodies.
Yeah, we're not anti-police or anti-cops.
We're critiques of the institution.
Yeah, we are anti the system that breeds like these inequalities and racism.
Part of the frustration too is this is like you run up against this idea that race is somehow a thing of the past.
Yeah.
So we have this. We have a very strong anti-history bias in the United States. A lot of all countries do it. All people do it. But the United States is quite unique in this way. The Chinese foreign minister once said this. He says, "You Americans are quite fascinating people. You have a historical amnesia when it comes to your own history." Mm-hmm. And he's very right in that regard. Is that what we do? Is we do this thing? It's like, oh, it's in the past. Yeah. Those things have already been dealt with. Or even activists will go, I don't want to focus on the past. I want to focus on the problems that exist now.
Yeah,
problem is that those historical injustices aren't the past.
Yeah.
No.
They inform the reality.
Yeah, they're intimately tied with what's going on in our modern day.
Exactly. They're infrastructural.
Yeah.
Right? These things are sedimentary.
Yeah.
They create layers. You cannot address systemic inequality without addressing the fact that the police was an institution of catching slaves.
Yeah.
Correct.
That has an effect in the way the laws are written, in the way the policing practices exist. So we have a refusal to accept history. We use, and this is the reality, is the government recognizes how powerful history is. It's why when we talk about slavery, it's a chapter long. It's why it's touched on superficial, because we know history is dangerous. Every nation knows that. It's why nations are so invested in creating their national histories. The glorious past, our great march towards progress, right? We're very invested in it. But it's time for us as activists to also be invested in that history, to recognize that history, to address that history, to draw upon that history, and then challenge it. Because we can't talk about good cop, bad cop. It's only by recognizing the history of the institution that you can then challenge it and then begin to change it. And then that may require some form of radical upheaval, which is what we're seeing right now. People think that Black Lives Matter is too anti-white. They think that it's too vocal, that, oh, protesting doesn't work. I see this as a historical moment. This is an upheaval. It's going to be ugly. It's birthing pains. It's not going to be comfortable for people. But guess what? That's what we need in order to bring about change.
Things only change with also, I mean, when we talked about this, the Renaissance didn't happen without the plague, too.
Yeah.
You know, and without social upheaval.
Crusades.
Exactly. Like, it's the way it is. And this is a really quick story. It has to do with wine again. I'm sorry. But yeah, Europe at a long time had an issue with a disease called phylloxera, right? Basically eating all the roots in Europe for their wine trees. So they had to take American rootstocks that were naturally resistant to this type of bug and regraft all of the traditional the vines in Europe with American rootstocks. The reason why I think this is important is the fact that the problems need to start with the roots, and our racial relationship between the government and the people of this country started with the roots of this country. So in order for us to really change and survive, the roots need to be changed and then put into something new and created and become resistant to the parasite that would eat and feed off of it.
That is a good analogy to end it on.
Yeah.
That is the deepest thing you've ever said on this podcast.
Took him only 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
It is, my perfidious troglodyte. Why don't you take us out?
What the fuck did you just call me? Whatever. Anyways, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/currentlynerdy. Go on there, like us, make your friends like us, post on our wall. Catch us on Twitter, @currentlynerdy on the tweets, #, I don't know, fuck it. Just #.
Honestly, Black Lives Matter.
#, Black Lives Matter.
Please.
Please, for us. We're on Instagram. Go on there. Follow us. Like our pictures. Write some comments. Make V feel that he is special. We're on the YouTubes. We just posted a new video. And we're posting another one really soon. If Ali can get the goddamn technology to work. And then we're on the Tumblr. currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. Go on there. Follow us. Reblog. Renote. All that shit. And iTunes. Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, please. If you want to get a hold of us individually, you can as well. V, let me know how they can get a hold of you.
Of course, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at vtran214. That's V-Y-T-R-A-N 214. You can find me on my website at thesandwichslayer.com. Ali?
You can catch me on my website at aliolomi.com, aliolomi.com, or on Twitter at aaolomi, Diz.
You can find me everywhere at Dizbulla, D-I-Z-B-U-L-L-A-H. I had some awesome tweets on Twitter the other night. Conservative because I know those Muslims are trying to bring their Shakira law to America.
I saw that. I favored it a few.
You keep your Shakira to yourself.
For everyone here currently nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerdy.
And we love you.